When Cupid came on one occasion to visit Lord Krishna, some devotee addressed him thus, quote, "My dear Cupid, because you have been so fortunate as to have placed your eyesight on the lotus feet of Krishna, the drops of perspiration on your body have become frozen, and they resemble kantaki fruits, a kind of small fruit found in thorny bushes." Unquote. These are signs of ecstasy and veneration for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the princes of the Yadu dynasty heard the vibration of Krishna's Panchajanya conch shell, the hairs on their bodies immediately stood up in ecstatic jubilation. It seemed at that time that all the hairs on the bodies of the princes were dancing in ecstasy. In addition to jubilation, there are sometimes symptoms of disappointment. Pradyumna once addressed Samba with these words, quote, "My dear Samba, you are such a glorified personality. I have seen that once when you were playing on the ground, your body became covered with dust. Yet our father, Lord Krishna, still took you up on his lap. But I am so unfortunate that I could never get such love from our father." Unquote. This statement is an example of disappointment in love. To regard Krishna as one's superior is called reverential feeling. And when, in addition to this, a devotee feels that Krishna is his protector, his transcendental love for Krishna is increased, and his combined feelings are called reverential devotion. When this steady reverential devotion increases further, it is called love of Godhead in reverential devotion. Attraction and affection are two prominent symptoms of this stage. In this reverential devotional attitude, Pradyumna never talked to his father in a loud voice. In fact, he never so much as unlocked the lips of his mouth, nor did he ever show his face filled with tears. He would always glance only at the lotus feet of his father. There is another example of steady and fixed love for Krishna in the instance of Arjuna's informing him of the death of Arjuna's son, Abhimanyu, who was also the nephew of Krishna. Abhimanyu was the son of Subhadra, Krishna's younger sister. He was killed at the Battle of Kurukshetra by the combined efforts of all the commanders in King Duryodhana's army, namely Karna, Ashvatthama, Jayadratha, Bhishma, Kripacharya, and Dronacharya. In order to assure Krishna that there was no change of love on Subhadra's part, Arjuna informed him, quote, "Although Abhimanyu was killed almost in your presence, Subhadra's love for you is not agitated at all, nor has it even slightly changed its original color." Unquote. The affection that Krishna has for his devotees was expressed by him when he asked Pradyumna not to feel so bashful before him. He addressed Pradyumna thus, quote, "My dear boy, just give up your feeling of inferiority and do not hang your neck. Just talk with me in a clear voice and do not shed tears. You may look straight at me and you may place your hands on my body without any hesitation. There is no need of exhibiting so much reverence before your father." Unquote. Pradyumna's attachment for Krishna was always exhibited by his action. Whenever he was ordered by his father to execute something, he would immediately execute the order, taking the task as nectarine, even though it may have been poison. Similarly, whenever he would find something to be disapproved of by his father, he would immediately reject it as poison, even though it may have been nectarine. Pradyumna's attachment and anxiety for Krishna was expressed when he said to his wife Rati, quote, "The enemy, Shambhara, is already killed. Now I am very anxious to see my father, who is my spiritual master and who always carries the conch shell known as Panchajanya." Unquote. Pradyumna felt great separation from Krishna when he was absent from Dwarka at the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He said, quote, "Since my father has left Dwarka, I do not take much pleasure in practicing fighting, nor am I interested in any kind of sporting pastimes. And what need is there to speak of these things? I do not even wish to stay at Dwarka in the absence of my father." Unquote. When Pradyumna came back home after killing Shambhurasura and saw his father Krishna before him, he at once became so overjoyed that he himself could not understand his joy on that occasion. This is an instance of success in separation. A similar satisfaction was observed when Krishna returned from the battlefield of Kurukshetra to his home at Dwarka. All of his sons were so overjoyed that out of ecstasy they repeatedly made many mistakes. These mistakes were a sign of complete satisfaction. Every day Pradyumna looked over Krishna's lotus feet with tears in his eyes. These signs of reverential devotion on the part of Pradyumna may be described in the same way they have been described in the cases of other devotees.
Dheera jana priyam priyakaram nirma saral pujitam nana shastra vichara naika nipunam.
And now chapter 41, Fraternal Devotion.
Lokanam hitakaranam tribhuvane mannam saranyakaram nana shastra vicharanikanipunam.
When a devotee is permanently situated in devotional service, and by different symptoms of ecstasy, he has developed and matured a fraternal mellow or flavor in relationship with the personality of Godhead, his feeling is called fraternal love of Godhead. The impetus for such fraternal love of God is God Himself. When one is liberated and discovers his eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, the Lord Himself becomes the impetus for increasing fraternal love. The eternal associates of the Lord in Vrindavan have described this as follows, quote, "The Lord Hari, whose bodily hue is like the Indranila jewel, whose smiling is as beautiful as the Kunda flower, whose silk dress is as yellow as golden autumn foliage, whose chest is beautified with garlands of flowers, and who is always playing on his flute, this enemy of the Aga demon is always attracting our hearts by wandering about Vrindavan." Unquote. There are similar statements of fraternal love expressed outside the jurisdiction of Vrindavan. When the sons of Pandu, headed by Maharaj Yudhishthir, saw Krishna in his four-handed form on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, holding his conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower, they completely forgot themselves and became merged in the ocean of nectarine happiness. This shows how the sons of Pandu, King Yudhishthir, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, and Sahadeva, were all caught up in fraternal love for Krishna. Sometimes the different names, forms, paraphernalia, and transcendental qualities provoke fraternal love. For instance, Krishna's nice dress, his strongly built body, the all-auspicious symptoms on his body, his knowledge of different languages, his learned teachings in Bhagavad Gita, his uncommon genius in all fields of endeavor, his exhibition of expert knowledge, his mercy, his chivalry, his behavior as a conjugal lover, his intelligence, his forgiveness, his attraction for all kinds of men, his opulence, and his happiness all provoke fraternal love. The impetus to fraternal love upon seeing the associates of Krishna in Vrindavan is also very natural, for their personal bodily features, their qualities, and their dress are all equal to Krishna's. These associates are always happy in their service to Krishna, and they are generally known as Vayasyas, or friends of the same age. The Vayasyas are fully confident of protection by Krishna. Devotees sometimes pray, quote, "Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the Vayasyas of Krishna, who are firmly convinced of Krishna's friendship and protection, and whose devotion to Krishna is ever fixed. They are fearless, and on a level equal with Krishna, they discharge their transcendental loving devotional service." Unquote. Such eternal Vayasyas are also found beyond the jurisdiction of Vrindavan, in places such as Dwarka and Hastinapur. Except for Vrindavan, all the places of Krishna's pastimes are called puras or towns. Mathura and Hastinapur, the capital of the Kurus, are both puras. Personalities like Arjuna, Bhima, Draupadi, and Sri Dama Brahman are counted among Krishna's fraternal devotees in the Puras. How the sons of Pandu, the Pandavas, enjoy Krishna's association is described as follows. Quote, "When Sri Krishna arrived in Indraprastha, the capital of the Kurus, Maharaj Yudhisthira immediately came out to smell the flavor of Krishna's head." Unquote. It is the Vedic custom that a superior smells the heads of his subordinates when the subordinates offer respect to the superior by touching his feet. Similarly, Arjuna and Bhima embraced Krishna with great jubilation, and the two younger brothers, namely Nakula and Sahadeva, touched the lotus feet of Krishna with tears in their eyes and offered their respects. In this way, all the five Pandava brothers enjoyed the fraternal friendship of Krishna in transcendental mellow. Of the five Pandavas, Arjuna is the most intimately connected with Krishna. He has a nice bow called Gandiva in his hand. His thighs are compared to the trunks of elephants, and his eyes are always reddish. When Krishna and Arjuna are together on a chariot, they become celestial beauties, pleasing to the eyes of everyone. It is said that once Arjuna was lying on his bed with his head upon Krishna's lap and was talking and joking with Krishna in great relaxation, enjoying Krishna's company with smiling and great satisfaction. As far as the Vayasyas, or friends in Vrindavan, are concerned, they become greatly distressed when they cannot see Krishna even for a moment. There is the following prayer by a devotee for the Vayasyas in Vrindavan. Quote, "All glories to Krishna's Vayasyas, who are just like Krishna in their age, qualities, pastimes, dress, and beauty. They are accustomed to playing on their flutes made of palm leaves, and they all have buffalo horn bugles ornamented like Krishna's with jewels such as Indranila and with gold and coral. They are always jubilant like Krishna. May these glorious companions of Krishna always protect us." Unquote. The Vayasyas in Vrindavan are in such intimate friendship with Krishna that sometimes they think themselves as good as Krishna. Here is an instance of such friendly feeling. When Krishna was holding up Govardhan Hill with his left hand, the Vyasas said, quote, "Dear friend, you have been standing for the last 7 days and nights without any rest. This is very troublesome for us, because we see that you have undertaken a severely laborious task. We think, therefore, that you need not continue to stand in that way holding the hill. You can just transfer it onto Sudama's hand. We are very much aggrieved to see you in this position. If you think that Sudama is not able to support Govardhan Hill, then at least you should change hands. Instead of supporting it with your left hand, please transfer it to your right hand so that we can give your left hand a massage." Unquote. This is an instance of intimacy, showing how much the Vyasas considered themselves to be equal to Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 12th chapter, verse 11, Shukdev Goswami tells King Parikshit, quote, "My dear King, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead to the learned transcendentalist. He is the supreme happiness for the impersonalist. He is the supreme worshipable deity for the devotee, and he is just like an ordinary boy to one who is under the spell of Maya." And just imagine, these cowherd boys are now playing with the Supreme Person as though they were on an equal level. By this, anyone can understand that these boys must have accumulated heaps of the results of pious activities to enable them to associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in such intimate friendship. Unquote. There is a description of Krishna's feeling for his Vyasas in Vrindavan. He once said to Balaram, quote, "My dear brother, when my companions were being devoured by the Agasura, hot tears poured down from my eyes. And as they were washing my cheeks, my dear elder brother, for at least one moment I completely lost myself." Unquote. Within Gokul, Krishna's Vyasas are generally divided into four groups. 1. Well-wishers. 2. Friends. 3. Confidential friends. And 4. Intimate friends. Krishna's well-wisher friends are a little bit older than Krishna, and they have some parental affection for him. Because of their being older than Krishna, they always try to protect him from any harm. As such, they sometimes bear weapons so that they can chastise any mischievous persons who want to do harm to Krishna. Counted among the well-wisher friends are Subhadra, Mandali Bhadra, Bhadravardhana, Gobhata, Yaksha, Indrabhata, Bhadranga, Virabhadra, Mahagana, Vijaya, and Balabhadra. They are older than Krishna and are always thinking of his welfare. One of the elderly friends said, quote, "My dear Mandali Bhadra, why are you wielding a shining sword as though you were running toward Arishtasura to kill him? My dear Baladev, why are you unnecessarily bearing that heavy plow? My dear Vijaya, don't be unnecessarily agitated. My dear Bhadravardhana, there is no need to make these threatening motions. If you will all look more closely, you will see that it is only a thundercloud upon Govardhan Hill. It is not the Arishtasura in the shape of a bull, as you have imagined." Unquote. These older, well-wishing friends of Krishna had imagined a large cloud to be the Arishtasura, appearing in the shape of a huge bull. In the midst of their excitement, one of them ascertained that it was actually only a cloud on Govardhan Hill. He therefore informed the others not to take the trouble of worrying about Krishna because there was no present danger from Arishtasura. Among the well-wisher friends, Mandalibhadra and Balabhadra are the chiefs. Mandalibhadra is described as follows. His complexion is yellowish, and his dress is very attractive. He always carries a stick of various colors. He wears a peacock feather on his head and always looks very beautiful. Mandalibhadra's attitude is revealed in this statement, quote, "My dear friends, our beloved Krishna is now very tired from working with the cows in the pasturing grounds and from traveling all over the forests. I can see that he is very fatigued. Let me massage his head silently while he is taking rest in his house. And you, Subala, you just massage his thighs." Unquote. One devotee described the personal beauty of Baladeva as follows, quote, "Let me take shelter of the lotus feet of Balaram, whose beauty is enhanced by the earrings touching his cheeks. His face is decorated with tilak made from kasturi or musk, and his broad chest is decorated with a garland of gunja or small conch shells. His complexion is as white as an autumn cloud. He wears garments of blue color, and his voice is very grave. His arms are very long, touching his thighs, and he has shown his great strength by killing the Pralamba demon. Let me take shelter of this chivalrous Balaram." Unquote. Balaram and Baladev are different names for the same expansion of Krishna. He is Krishna's elder brother. Baladev's affection for Krishna is illustrated in this statement to Subala, quote, "My dear friend, please inform Krishna not to go to Kaliya's lake today. Today is his birthday, and so I wish to go along with Mother Yashoda to bathe him. Tell him he should not leave the house today." Unquote. This shows how Balaram, Krishna's elder brother, took care of Krishna with parental love, within the scope of fraternal affection. Friends who are younger than Krishna, who are always attached to him, and who give him all kinds of service, are called ordinary friends or simply friends. Such ordinary friends are called sakhas, and the names of some sakhas are Vishala, Vrishabha, Ojasvi, Devaprastha, Varutapa, Maranda, Kusamapida, Manibanda, and Karandama. All of these Sakha friends of Krishna seek only to serve him. Sometimes some of them would rise early in the morning and immediately go to Krishna's place and wait at the door to see Krishna and to accompany him to the pasturing grounds. In the meantime, Krishna would be dressed by Mother Yashoda, and when she would see a boy standing at the door, she would call him, "Well, Vishala, why are you standing there? Come here." So with the permission of Mother Yashoda, he would immediately enter the house. And while Mother Yashoda was dressing Krishna, he would try to help put on Krishna's ankle bells, and Krishna would jokingly strike him with his flute. Then Mother Yashoda would call, "Krishna, what is this? Why are you teasing your friend?" And Krishna would laugh, and the friend would also laugh. These are some of the activities of Krishna's sakhas. Sometimes the sakhas would take care of the cows who were going hither and thither. They would tell Krishna, "Your cows were going off here and there," and Krishna would thank them. Sometimes when Krishna and his sakhas went to the pasturing ground, Kamsa would send a demon to kill Krishna. Therefore, almost every day there was a fight with some different kind of demon. After fighting with a demon, Krishna would feel fatigued, the hairs on his head would be scattered, and the Sakhas would immediately come and try to relieve him in different ways. Some friends would say, quote, "My dear Vishala, please take this fan of lotus leaves and fan Krishna so that he may feel some comfort. Varutapa, you just brush the scattered hairs on Krishna's head which have fallen upon his face. Vrishabha, don't talk unnecessarily. Immediately massage Krishna's body. His arms have become tired from fighting and wrestling with that demon. Oh, just see how our friend Krishna has become tired." Unquote. These are some examples of the treatment given to Krishna by the Sakhas. One of the Sakhas, known as Devaprastha, is described as follows. He is very strong, a ready scholar, and is very expert in playing ball. He wears a white dress, and he ties his hair into a bunch with a rope. Whenever there is a fight between Krishna and the demons, Devaprastha is the first to help, and he fights just like an elephant. One of the gopis once said to her friend, quote, "My dear beautiful friend, when Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, was taking rest within the cave of a hill, he was keeping his head on the arms of Sri Dama, and he was putting his left hand on Dama's chest. Taking this opportunity, Devaprastha, out of his strong affection for Krishna, immediately began to massage his legs." Unquote. Such are the activities of Krishna's friends out on the pasturing grounds. The more confidential friends are called Priya Sakhas and are almost Krishna's age. Because of their very confidential friendship, their behavior is only on the basis of pure friendship. The behavior of other friends is on the ground of paternal love or servitude, but the basic principle of the confidential friends is simply friendship on an equal level. Some confidential friends are as follows. Sri Dama, Sudama, Dama, Basudama, Kinkini, Stoka Krishna, Amshu, Bhadrasena, Balasi, Pundarika, Pitanka, and Kalavinka. By their various activities in different pastimes, all of these friends used to give transcendental pleasure to Krishna. The behavior of these confidential friends is described by a friend of Radharani who told Radharani, quote, "My dear graceful Radharani, your intimate friend Krishna is also served by his intimate boyfriends. Some of them cut jokes with him in mild voices and please him very much by this." Unquote. For example, Krishna had one Brahmin friend whose name was Madhu Mangala. This boy would joke by playing the part of a greedy Brahmin. Whenever the friends ate, he would eat more than all others, especially laddus, of which he was very fond. Then, after eating more laddus than anyone else, Madhu Mangala would still not be satisfied, and he would say to Krishna, quote, "If you give me one more laddu, then I shall be pleased to give you my blessings so that your friend Radharani will be very much pleased with you." Unquote. The Brahmins are supposed to give blessings to the Vaishyas, farming and merchant caste, and Krishna presented himself as the son of Maharaj Nanda, a Vaishya. So the Brahmin boy was right in giving blessings to Krishna. Thus, Krishna was very pleased by his friend's blessings, and he would supply him with more and more laddus. Sometimes a confidential friend would come before Krishna and embrace him with great affection and love. Another friend would then come up from the rear and cover Krishna's eyes with his hands. Krishna would always feel very happy by such dealings with his confidential friends. out of all these confidential friends, Sri Dhamma is considered to be the chief. Sri Dhamma used to put on a yellow-colored dress. He would carry a buffalo horn, and his turban was of reddish copper color. His bodily complexion was blackish, and around his neck there was a nice garland. He would always challenge Krishna in joking friendship. Let us pray to Sri Dhamma to bestow his mercy upon us. Sometimes Sri Dham used to address Krishna, quote, "Oh, you are so cruel that you left us alone on the bank of the Yamuna, and we were all mad from not seeing you there. Now it is our great fortune that we are able to see you here. If you want to pacify us, you must embrace each one of us with your arms. But believe me, my dear friend, a moment's absence from you creates great havoc, not only for us, but for the cows also. Everything becomes disarranged, and we become mad after you." Unquote. There are other friends who are still more confidential. They are called Priyanarma, or intimate friends. Counted among the Priyanarma friends are Subala, Arjun, Gandharva, Vasanta, and Ujvala. There was talk among the friends of Radharani, the gopis, about these most intimate friends. One gopi addressed Radharani thus, quote, "My dear Krishangi, or delicate one, just see how Subala is whispering your message into Krishna's ear, how he is delivering the confidential letter of Shyamadasi silently into Krishna's hand, how he is delivering the betel nuts prepared by Palika into Krishna's mouth, and how he is decorating Krishna with the garland prepared by Taraka. Did you know, my dear friend, that all these most intimate friends of Krishna are always engaged in his service in this way?" Unquote. Out of the many intimate Priyanarmas, Subala and Ujvala are considered to be the most prominent. Subala's body is described as follows. His complexion is just like molten gold. He is very, very dear to Krishna. He always has a garland around his neck, and he wears yellow clothing. His eyes are just like lotus flower petals, and he is so intelligent that by his talking and his moral instructions, all the other friends take the highest pleasure. Let us all offer our respectful obeisances unto Krishna's friend, Subala. The degree of intimacy shared by Krishna and Subala can be understood by the fact that the talks between them were so confidential that no one else could understand what they were saying. The description of Ujvala, another intimate friend, is given as follows. Ujvala always wears some garment of orange color, and the movements of his eyes are always very restless. He likes to decorate himself with all kinds of flowers. His bodily hue is almost like Krishna's, and on his neck there is always a necklace of pearls. He is always very dear to Krishna. Let us all worship Ujvala, the most intimate friend of Krishna. About the confidential service of Ujvala, this statement is to be found, addressed by Radharani to one of her friends. Quote, "My dear friend, it is impossible for me to keep my prestige. I wanted to avoid talking to Krishna anymore, but just see, there again is his friend Ujvala coming to me with his canvassing work. His entreaties are so powerful that it is very difficult for a gopi to resist her love for Krishna, even though she may be very bashful, devoted to her family duties, and most faithful to her husband." Unquote. The following is a statement by Ujvala, showing his jubilant nature. Quote, My dear Krishna, O killer of Agasura, you have extended your loving affairs so much that you can be compared to the great ocean, which is without limitations. At the same time, the young girls of the world, who are all searching after the perfect lover, have become just like rivers running into this ocean. Under the circumstances, all these rivers of young girls may try to divert their courses to some other place, but at the end, they must come unto you. Unquote. Among the groups of different friends of Krishna, some are well known from various scriptures, and some are well known by popular tradition. There are three divisions among Krishna's friends. Some are eternally in friendship with Krishna, some are elevated demigods, and some are perfected devotees. In all of these groups, there are some who by nature are fixed in Krishna's service and are always engaged in giving counsel. Some of them are very fond of joking and naturally cause Krishna to smile by their words. Some of them are by nature very simple, and by their simplicity they please Lord Krishna. Some of them create wonderful situations by their activities, apparently against Krishna. Some of them are very talkative, always arguing with Krishna and creating a debating atmosphere. And some of them are very gentle and give pleasure to Krishna by their sweet words. All of these friends are very intimate with Krishna, and they show expertise in their different activities, their aim always being to please Krishna.
नाना शास्त्र विचार नैक निपुण सद्धर्म संस्थापक लोकाना.
And now chapter 42, Fraternal Loving Affairs.
मन शरण्याकन नाना शास्त्र विचार नैक निपुण Sadharma Samasthapaka.
Krishna's age, his beauty, his bugle, his flute, his conch shell, and his pleasing attitude all provoke love in friendship for him. His exceptional joking abilities, exhibited sometimes by his pretending to be a royal prince or even the supreme personality of Godhead, also give impetus to devotees developing love for Krishna in friendship. Learned scholars have divided Krishna's age into three periods. The age up through 5 years is called Komara. The age from the 6th through the 10th year is called Poganda. And the age from the 11th through 15th year is called Kaishora. While Krishna is spending his days as a cowherd boy, he is in the Komara and Poganda ages. In the Kaishora age, when Krishna appeared in Gokul, he acted as a cowherd boy, and then when he was 16, he went to Mathura to kill Kamsa. The Komara age is just suitable for reciprocating the love of a child with Mother Yashoda. In the 10th canto, 13th chapter, verse 11 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukdeva Goswami tells King Pariksit, quote, "My dear King, although Lord Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and the beneficiary of all kinds of sacrificial ceremonies, he still used to eat with his cowherd boyfriends. This is because at that time he accepted the pastimes of an ordinary boy, keeping his flute under his arm and his bugle on the right side in his belt, along with his cane. In his left hand he would hold a lump of rice paste with yogurt, and in his fingers would be Pilu, the king of fruits. When he would thus sit among his friends, it would appear that he was the whorl of a lotus flower, and that the friends surrounding him were the petals. As they thus enjoyed joking amongst themselves, the denizens of heaven would become struck with wonder and would only stare at the scene." Unquote. Krishna's Pauganda age can be further divided into three periods, namely the beginning, middle, and end. In the beginning of the Pauganda age, there is a very nice reddish luster on his lips. His abdomen is very thin, and on his neck are circles like those on a conch shell. Sometimes, some outside visitors would return to Vrindavan to see Krishna, and upon seeing him again would exclaim, quote, "My dear Mukunda, your beauty is gradually increasing, just like the leaf on a banyan tree. My dear lotus-eyed one, your neck is gradually manifesting circles like those of the conch shell. And in the shining moonlight, your teeth and cheeks are competing with the Padmaraga jewels in their beautiful arrangement. I am sure that your beautiful bodily development is now giving much pleasure to your friends." Unquote. At this age, Krishna was garlanded with various kinds of flowers. He used to put on a silk dress colored with various kinds of dye. Such beautiful decorations are considered cosmetics for Krishna. Krishna would wear this dress when he used to go into the forest to tend the cows. Sometimes he would wrestle there with his different friends, and sometimes they would dance all together in the forest. These are some of the specific activities of the Pauganda age. The cowherd friends of Krishna were so happy in his company that they expressed their transcendental feelings within themselves thus. Quote, "Dear Krishna, you are always busy tending the cows which are scattered all over beautiful Vrindavan. You have a beautiful garland, a small conch shell, a peacock feather on your turban, yellow-colored silk cloth, decorations of Karnikara flowers on your ears, and a Malika flower garland on your chest. Appearing so beautiful, when you pretend, just like an actor, to be fighting with us, you give us unlimited transcendental bliss." Unquote. When Krishna is more grown up, in the middle age of Pauganda, his nails become finely sharp, and his chubby cheeks become lustrous and round. On the two sides of his waist, above his belt, there are three distinct lines of folded skin called trivali. The cowherd boyfriends of Krishna felt very proud of their association with him. At that time, the tip of his nose defeated the beauty of sesame flowers, the luster of his cheeks defeated the glow of pearls, and the two sides of his body were exquisitely beautiful. In this age, Krishna wore a silk dress that glittered like lightning. His head was decorated with a silk turban covered with gold lace, and in his hand he carried a stick about 56 inches long. The specific pastimes in this period took place in the forest known as Bandiravana. This Bandiravana, along with 11 other vanas or forests, is still existing in the Vrindavan area. And devotees who circumambulate the whole area of Vrindavan can know the beauty of these forests even today. Seeing this exquisitely beautiful dress of Krishna, one devotee addressed his friend in this manner, quote, "My dear friend, just look at Krishna. See how he is carrying in his hand a stick which is bound up and down with golden rings, how his turban with golden lace is showing such a beautiful luster, and how his dress is giving his friends the highest transcendental pleasure." Unquote.